One of the best witnesses that we've had in this trial has been Dr. Shannon Coey. She was an incredible woman, an inspirational woman, and I felt that her testimony deserved an episode of its own. So in today's episode, I will be looking further into Dr. Shannon Coey's testimony in this trial. You're listening to The Virginia Truth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Virginia Truth with me, Knackle. Thank you once again for joining me. I hope you're having a great weekend. Hope you've not been thinking too much about the jury or even the trial, because even though the trial concluded on Friday and we're all awaiting the jury's verdict, which will come at the earliest on Tuesday, but could be as late as the end of the week. Hopefully not that far. I mean, I think we're all expecting Tuesday or Wednesday the latest. But even though the trial's over, I think it's still in all of our minds, because even the conversations I'm having with people that don't even necessarily follow the trial too closely, It's still making the conversations, whether it's in group chats on WhatsApp, whether it's on whether you're going for dinner or lunch. Everybody wants to talk about the trial. So, yeah, you just can't get away. You just can't get away, because I was thinking, yeah, you know, Friday will come and the trial will conclude and we'll wait for the jury's verdict. And yeah, maybe during the weekend we can all switch off a little bit, you know. Aside from doing the show, of course. But I just thought, you know, in my general conversations with my friends, I thought maybe we'll just talk about other things. But even the people that aren't so interested in the trial, they want to know more about the trial. So you can't get away from it no matter what you do. But I understand. It's been a part of the news cycle. It's been part of a lot of our lives for the past 6 weeks, some even longer, depending on how long you've been following it. But it is a vital component, isn't it, really, of today's society. Again, I mentioned in the last episode, this is more than a celebrity trial. I think to simply compartmentalize it into just it being a celebrity trial is actually naive, if I'm honest, because this is going to have huge societal implications. So it is much more than just a celebrity trial. It's a big one. It's a big one for where we go and, you know, where we go as a society, and what kind of message does this send out. So yeah, I mean, you just can't get away from it. So yeah, it was naive of me to think I'll have a weekend where I will be able to switch off from it a little bit. It's not been the case. But here we are. And today I wanted to focus on some of the testimonies that we had last week, because there's so much going on in the trials. You know, the day is a long day. You know, the day is a 8 hour day, 8.5 hour day even. And so there's a lot that happens in those 8 hours. I mean, well, I take out the hour for lunch and a couple of 15 minute breaks. So still there's over 6 hours worth of things that happen in court. And to be honest, it's all relevant. There's nothing in court that you think, oh, well, that's just a bit of a waste of time. Of course, there's the odd testimony that is useless and, you know, it doesn't really seem relevant. But the majority of those six and a half active hours in court, there's a lot that happens. And I try and bring you guys my thoughts on everything and try and update you on as much as I can. And in a lot of the episodes, I give you the sort of key things that happen on that day. And obviously there's days where you have Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, when they're in the witness stand, they become the focal point. And so I gave you a brief overview during the last week's episodes, where I spoke about Dr. Shannon Coey, who I think has been one of the best witnesses in this trial in terms of the credibility that she brings, but also because of what she said. I thought it held a lot of weight, and it made a lot of sense in her initial testimony, because she was back last week to rebut what Dr. Hughes had to say, and she was used in rebuttal. So I kind of wanted to get more deeper into that during the week, but it was difficult because there was a lot of other things to focus on. So today it gives me a good chance to tell you what Dr. Shannon Coey spoke about last week, because her testimony is crucial, I feel, and I'm sure the jury is actually I'm sure that's one of the testimonies, because there was a hell of a lot of testimonies, but I'm sure that was one that would have had an impact on them. Because as I mentioned, Dr. Shannon Curry was in the witness stand twice, so she was there a few weeks ago and she was back. And I think both times she brought a lot of credibility. The problem was, well, I don't know if it's a problem. I mean, obviously Amber Heard's team was always going to try and counter it. And they brought in Dr. Dawn Hughes. Dr. Dawn Hughes, who I thought was a horrible person, to be honest, because she was very toxic. The problem that I had with her was she was very sexist and she denied that men can be victims. I mean, she didn't directly say that, but she she insinuated it in the way she spoke, and she would always refer to victims as she and abusers as he. And I thought, what are you doing? Like, this is exactly what this trial is trying to kill, the stereotypes it's trying to kill, it's trying to show. And the reason why a lot of people are vocal about this trial is because male victims don't get spoken about enough, or they get shunned away, or it's like, oh, men can't be abused, and definitely not by a woman. Haha, that's not possible. And it's a stigma that I think has existed for decades. It really is. And but however, it's just very common. It's very common that men get abused, if not physically, mentally, psychologically. So there's many ways where men are abused, and this trial is supposed to shed some light on that, because this is a male victim, and not just any old male victim. It's a very complex case. It wasn't just a case of, oh, Johnny Depp got abused. It was a case of he not only got abused, but he got called the abuser. Oftentimes people get abused, but at least they don't get a false allegation thrown at them. So imagine that to one of you listeners. Imagine you're a person who's completely innocent, but you've been abused. And now, not only have you been abused for a number of years, you're also being accused of being an abuser. How absurd and how horrific would that feel? And so this is why this case is so fascinating, because we want to see if justice will be served, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult to prove, to fight against false allegations. There's a lot of work that needs to go into that. And so this is why we're all captivated. I think a lot of us anyway. I mean, it depends. I mean, some people have the outlook that Amber Heard is completely innocent. Which I just don't get how you reach that conclusion, having weighed up the mountains of evidence that exists. And as I always say, if you've been listening to this show, you'll have heard this a number of times. Even if you don't want to believe anything that anyone in the court has said, just go and listen to the goddamn audio recordings, the audio tapes between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard that exists, that was recorded. So it's almost like you're a fly on the wall of a private conversation. And there's hours of that. There's hours of those tapes, and if you listen to those, you will quickly realize who the abuser is and who the victim is, and I think you will be left in no doubt if you are in any doubt. Obviously, look, I know some people have an agenda, and they really want that. They really want Amber to be innocent. But I just think this should not be about agendas. It shouldn't be about propagandas. It shouldn't be about political ideologies or anything. It should just simply be about a victim and an abuser. Simple. But anyway, that was my problem with Dr. Dawn Hughes. She came across as very sexist, and this was a widely held opinion. So I know I'm not alone in thinking that. And so let me start by what Dr. Shannon Curry mentioned about Dr. Dawn Hughes, because she was sort of refuting a lot of what Dr. Hughes had said, and she said that what Dawn Hughes did was she misrepresented the objective measures. She said there was response distortion by Amber Heard, and Dr. Shannon Curry also said that Dr. Hughes didn't apply the scoring rules and diagnosed Heard based on wrong assessment, which is very telling, because Dr. Dawn Hughes, remember, said that Amber had PTSD, what Dr. Shannon Curry also mentioned was that you need to have a healthy dose of skepticism when you're assessing patients, because the patient, sadly, has a reason to lie or alter their questions. In these cases where it's a court matter, oftentimes the person that's being assessed, because that's what Dr. Dawn Hughes does, she regularly testifies. And Dr. Dawn Hughes actually has testified in the past for women that have murdered their husbands. There's a case out there, and her name is written. as a person that testified for the woman, and this woman had a murder. Not apparently, she did. It was a fact. She'd murdered her husband. So instantly, that kind of just reveals a lot about the type of cases Dr. Dawn Hughes likes to take on. So yeah, I mean, I think that I'm not saying that alone makes her lose credibility, but I think that doesn't help. And more importantly, even if I put that to one side, simply the way she spoke in court both times just doesn't make her a credible witness at all. And as you just heard with Dr. Shannon Curry, she spoke about how Dr. Dawn Hughes essentially got it wrong. And what Dr. Shannon Curry said was, she said, so generally speaking, there are three main categories. The first is that Dr. Hughes misrepresented the tests and the results she utilized in the evaluations. And she also went on to say that Dr. Dawn Hughes misrepresented Dr. Curry's testing and the results, because she tried to say, well, it wasn't right, it wasn't the correct way. And Dr. Curry set the record straight, and she said, Dr. Hughes provided testimony in a manner that presented her own opinions and the self-report of misheard as facts. That's a key statement, because what Dr. Dawn Hughes did was, when she gave her testimony and the first time she came into court, she was reeling. Well, oh, by the way, she was a terrible witness because she was reading off paper. You can't do that when you're in the witness stand. You know, you have to speak from your mind. You can't be reading off a paper, and that's what she was doing, and she had to be told off for that. So not a great start, and she's experienced, by the way. She's not a rookie, because I think that's an easy mistake to make. If that was my first time, I might have done the same thing if I didn't know better. But she's done this before, so there's no excuse. And also, she reeled off a number. She couldn't remember her own diagnosis of Amber Heard. She'd have to think about it, and you know, she wasn't very confident when she spoke. But when she spoke about all the allegations that Amber Heard had made towards Johnny Depp, she could reel those off completely easily. So she would say, you know, Amber Heard was beaten up and this happened and that happened and Johnny did this to her and Johnny did that to her. But she had no right to say any of those things because she had not witnessed those things. You know, it's not like she ever saw Amber Heard get beaten up. She just went on by what Amber Heard had told her. But the problem wasn't just that. The problem was that she presented those statements that Amber Heard had made to Dr. Dawn Hughes. She presented those statements in court as a matter of fact, as though it was just not debatable. This happened, end of the story. And for me, that just didn't make her, again, that didn't make her credible. And what Dr. Curry said was, you can't do that. You know, and this is why I respect Dr. Shannon Curry. Now, not only does Dr. Shannon Curry speak a lot more concisely and has a better way of putting her points forward, she speaks really well, but more importantly, she would never speak on what Amber Heard allegedly may have done to Johnny Depp. Like, you never hear Dr. Shannon Curry, in the two times she's been at court, say Amber Heard abused Johnny Depp by doing this and doing that. She never mentions that. She never talks about that. She simply talks about, and as a doctor, as her, which is what her job is, she speaks about her assessment of Amber Heard. That's what Dr. Shannon Curry does. Dr. Dawn Hughes does not do that. That's what she should be doing. All she should be doing is focusing on the assessment she did on Amber Heard. But she went off and spoke about a bunch of other things. And no, just not a credible witness at all. And what Dr. Curry said was, she said that Dr. Hughes had used 8 checklists that are not appropriate for forensic settings, such as civil suits, because they are easily exploited. One of those checklists, Dr. Curry continued, was the PTSD checklist, or PCL5, which she described as a screening instrument only. It contains every single symptom of PTSD. There's a secondary danger here too. When you think about it, given that PTSD is the most frequently feigned and claimed diagnosis in civil courts, that those are the words of Dr. Shannon Curry. The key line there being, PTSD is the most frequently feigned and claim diagnosis in civil court. You know, it's a great thing to put forward if you're trying to fight your case, you know. And it's sad. It's really sad that people do this. I've said this before, where people lie about having illnesses and all this other stuff. people do this, and it's just the harsh world that we live in, you know, where people lie. I think a lot of people are struggling to grasp that notion that people lie, including women, sadly. Because I think there's this, some people don't want to accept that Amber Heard is lying, and they can't really offer an alternative argument. If she's not lying, then how is she telling the truth? It's just a, and sometimes I want to have this conversation in a very genuine way. Like, I'm not trying to say you're wrong. I'm just saying, tell me why you think Amber Heard is right. And whenever the few instances that I've entertained that conversation, and I don't choose to do it very often because I've realized that there is no logical argument that people have, it just doesn't end well because they don't offer a good argument. So anyhow, I don't want to focus on those people too much, but no, I just wanted to make that a point that people lie about PTSD, and it's very sad, but as Dr. Shannon Curry said, it's a very easy thing to lie about and also prove via a test. Dr. Curry went on to say that if you're handing someone a checklist that lists every symptom of PTSD, you're essentially teaching them all the little nuances that we're looking for to give that diagnosis. She gave that to Ms. Heard. Ms. Heard endorsed most of the items on the list, and Dr. Hughes diagnosed her with PTSD and substantiated that opinion by Ms. Heard checking those items on the PCL. So there we go. You know, you're literally, what Dr. Hughes did was she gave her the checklist as in to say, oh, by the way, here you are. Pick and choose what you want to be. And it made it easy for her. What might have been a more effective way would have been, tell me about some of your symptoms, you know, because if you've really got something, you might say, hey, yeah, you know, I struggle with this. I get triggered by this. And you know what I mean? Like, if you have PTSD, which sadly, a lot of people genuinely do have PTSD, you know what your triggers are. You often know what your triggers are, what your symptoms are. However, sometimes you may need a prompt. You may need a prompt. But this is where Amber Heard went crazy because, and I use the word crazy because she literally ticked off 19 of the 20 symptoms when Dr. Curry did a test on her. And there's actually war veterans, people that fought in Iraq. I saw a comment by someone that fought in Iraq, the Iraq War, and he said that he has PTSD, which sadly a lot of people that fought in the wars do. He said that Amber Heard, if telling the truth, she has more PTSD symptoms than someone that fought in Iraq. So essentially, being in a relationship with Johnny Depp is worse than being in a war in Iraq, apparently. Of course, we know that's not true. And we know that Amber had exaggerated her symptoms. She just ticked all of them. And that, again, it's just not believable. I mean, even this is why I worry about Amber Heard. And I always say, like, it's easy for us to laugh at Amber Heard and abuse her. I mean, she deserves to be condemned. She doesn't deserve death threats and all the other stuff that she gets. Nobody deserves death threats. I don't support that at all. It's not right. But the thing is that if you're constantly going to, you know, lie about everything, there's something more wrong with you. And so I think Amber Heard needs real help. You know, and I mean that in a sincere way. Because I think Amber Heard lies so much that I don't even think she realizes she's lying half the time. Like, I think she's kidding herself into believing some of the things she lies about. Because if somebody was trying to lie on a test, they would lie to a point where it's believable. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't have PTSD at all, you want to show that you have PTSD, you might tick a few more than you might do on a normal scale. Like, if you're being honest, you might tick a few more than you would if you were being honest. But for Amber to take most of them just says you must think either Amber is so lost that she thinks we're all stupid and we're going to believe her lies, which is a plausible argument as well, because she has presented a lot of lies that people have believed and worryingly continue to believe. Some people continue to believe Amber and everything she said. And by the way, guys, even if I said to you right now that I don't support either side and I completely remove myself from the situation, and I just look at the facts that have been presented in court, which, to be honest, is practically what I've done. But if you just look at what's happened in court, she's lied in court. She's literally contradicted herself several times in court. So when people are saying Amber Heard has spoken the truth in court throughout this trial, that's a complete lie. That's a huge lie, because that's a lie within itself. But, you know, it's a complete lie because she's lied in court. Like, her own statements don't add up against her own statements. And that for me is also very, very revealing. Like, you can't do that with anything Johnny Depp has said in the witness stand or anything his team has presented. Everything that Johnny Depp's team has presented, you don't find contradictions. You don't go back and look and say, oh, they said this last week and now they're saying this. But with Amber, one minute she's saying this, the next minute she's saying that. Like, Amber Heard doesn't even take a new day to contradict herself. She will contradict herself in her own statement. For example, when she was talking about leaking the video to TMZ, where the cabinet video, she's like, I didn't leak it to TMZ, even though there's an incredible amount of evidence that she did leak it to TMZ. She says, I didn't leak it to TMZ. I wouldn't know how to do that. I wouldn't know how to leak a video to TMZ. I wouldn't know how to leak a video. And then literally about 20 seconds later, she says, if I wanted to leak that video, I would have done it in a far better and far, more dramatic way, a far, far more impactful way. I would have done it so much better. Literally, Amber, you just said you wouldn't know how to do it, and now you're saying 20 seconds later you know how you do it, and you do it much better. So it's either one thing or the other. You either have no idea how to leak a video, or you do, and you just contradicted yourself. That's a small example I'm giving. There's about 100 I could pull up, and you've heard them in the previous episodes. So anyway, so let's go back to Dr. Shannon Curry. So yeah, Dr. Shannon Curry was then asked about Amber Heard's PTSD, and she said, do you believe that Dr. Hughes had said her PTSD was triggered? Dr. Shannon Curry was asked, do you believe that? And she says, I would say it can't be triggered if PTSD isn't present. So she doesn't believe there was any PTSD in Amber Heard because, like I said, Amber claimed that she had 19 out of the 20 major symptoms for post-traumatic stress disorder. And by the way, guys, if she really did have that, Amber Heard would not behave the way she does. So even if we want to believe Amber and say, okay, maybe she does have 19 out of 20 of the major symptoms for PTSD, well, she would not be behaving the way she does. She wouldn't even leave home. She wouldn't exercise. She would, as Dr. Shannon Curry pointed out, she wouldn't be hanging out with friends. She wouldn't be going to dinner. She wouldn't be socializing. PTSD is something that's very serious. You can't laugh about it. It's not a joke, and you can't take it lightly. And if you have 19 out of the 20 major symptoms, there's no way you're behaving like Amber Heard. So it's a lie. It's a lie. I think we can safely stamp that one as a lie. I mean, if we can't do with that with everything else that she said, but that is definitely one that's just absurd. And as Dr. Shannon Curry said, it's not even typical of even somebody with the most disabling form of PTSD to have that many symptoms, even someone that's been to war. And what Dr. Shannon Curry had said was she's worked with Amber on two separate occasions. She's conducted the evaluation, and they've spent 12 hours together, so that they spent 12 hours together. And the result of the evaluation that Dr. Curry did was that Amber has borderline personality disorder and histrionic personality disorder. And what Dr. Curry said that means is that Amber externalizes blame. So she was basically describing how she came to that conclusion about Amber Heard. And what Dr. Curry said was that Amber externalizes blame. So it's never Amber's fault, it's everybody else's fault. Have we seen that in the trial, guys? We absolutely have. We've seen that where even on the penultimate day of court, so before we had the closing arguments the day before, Amber was literally calling every witness a liar. Everyone's come out of the woodwork for Johnny to be a part of the Johnny Depp show, in her words. She said, Kate Moss came out of the woodwork, and that she's allegedly lying. Why would Kate Moss lie? Kate Moss has no reason to lie. Kate Moss doesn't even have to be here. She chose to be there. She chose to testify. And well, she did it via video link, but she didn't have to be there present in court, maybe not physically, but via video link. There was no obligation. She chose to do that. And she then said that Morgan Knight, the guy who runs the trailer palace, that's it, the trailer palace. I always call it trailer parks, but I feel that's an insult to what he's running. He's clearly running a much more, or he ran because he doesn't work there anymore, but he ran a much more sophisticated operation. It was a trailer palace. Again, he was there that night where there was a campfire, and Johnny apparently beat her up and did all these things, and twisted the wrist of one of her friends, and all these absurd stories that Amber Heard likes to point out without any evidence. Again, that person wasn't there, apparently. He wasn't there that night, even though he says he worked there. And he has no, again, no reason to really lie. So anyway, it's never Amber Heard's fault. Everybody else is. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else is a liar. Everybody else is crazy. But Amber Heard is great. You know, she's always right. She's never lying. So yeah, Dr. Curry said that Amber Heard externalizes blame. We've seen that throughout the trial. She also said that that Amber is also very self-righteous and judgmental and has anger issues. Dr. Curry went on to say that Amber has a desperate fear of abandonment, which again has been backed up throughout this trial. We see that Amber Heard was very insecure about Johnny. Even though she always says Johnny was insecure about her, it seems like it was more the other way around, and she was insecure of Johnny, which is much more believable. Just because of their statuses and where they are at that point in their lives, it makes more sense that Johnny is the one that would be the one Amber was fearful of losing, as opposed to it being the other way around. Because it seems as though Johnny was very committed to Amber and she had no reason to be insecure. But she was, because she has this desperate fear of abandonment. It goes in line with all the evidence that's been provided. And I have to add, whilst I'm talking about witnesses, is that all the witnesses that came forward in this trial for Johnny Depp's side or from Johnny Depp's side, it was always consistent. Whereas a lot of Amber Heard's testimonies that came from her witnesses, they were always inconsistencies. You know, not all the stories matched up. And it wasn't small inconsistencies. Because, by the way, you can all get your story straight. So I'm not saying that just because your story is straight means you're all telling the truth, because that could be coordinated. However, the inconsistencies sometimes can be very minor, you know, some things that don't matter. However, the stories that Amber Heard, the inconsistencies in Amber Heard's stories and her witnesses and how different they all seem to be at times was just too far apart. Too far apart to the point where it's like, that's just not true, you know, because you can get small details wrong. I'm not going to poke at that. I'm not going to say you're a liar because of that. But it's a consistent theme. And that's when you begin to say, you know, this does not add up. You know, Dr. Curry said, you know, that Amber did have a desperate fear of abandonment, and among those with borderline disorder, and that the reaction to that is to try to keep a significant other close, and this behavior can become extreme. I'm gonna repeat that last sentence. And that the reaction to that is to try to keep a significant other close, and this behavior can become extreme. The reason I pointed that last little bit out is because, again, if you listen to the episode in this podcast series called Amber Exposed, there's a couple of audio tapes in there, and they reveal how Amber would try to keep Johnny close. You know, she wouldn't want him to go. And there's actually other audio tapes out there where Amber doesn't want Johnny to leave. She's literally telling him, don't go. Like, to go, Johnny at one point was going to see his daughter, and she didn't want him to go. She was making a big scene, and Johnny's like, stop making a scene, just let me go. Let me go and see Lily. You know, he was going to go and see Lily Rose that day, and Amber didn't want him to. And there didn't seem to be a good reason for that. Amber would always make the excuse, oh, it's because he was going to go drinking. Well, Johnny's not a 5-year-old child. I mean, if he was going to go drinking, that is up to him. But that's not even true, though. That's not what we get from those audio tapes. Those audio recordings reveal everything, because you can't lie about the audio recordings, because you actually listen to them. So they reveal everything. So again, she always was very extreme. Her behavior was very extreme, to the point where she got a restraining order on Johnny Depp. This was after they split up. She still wanted him back. She set up a meeting with Johnny Depp, despite the fact that she got a restraining order against him. Weeks later, she wanted to meet up with him, and she did. And she was trying to get him back, almost, you know. And it's just strange. It's a strange thing. And someone who's abusing you, why would you want them back? But again, this is why I say, repeatedly, Dr. Shannon Curry has been one of the best witnesses. Because not only is she a professional, she obviously knows what she's doing. She's been doing this for a number of years. However, everything she said is in line with the evidence that we have, you know, so it just fits. Everything just fits perfectly. And her diagnosis works really well with the evidence that we've had so far. And she was talking more about Amber Heard's symptoms and, you know, the diagnosis that she has of Amber. And she said that people like Amber, or not just people like Amber, because everyone that has borderline personality disorder or histrionic personality disorder, they're not all the same. They're not all as evil and as horrific as, you know, the deeds of Amber Heard. You know, they're not on that level. Everyone's different. So just because you have that doesn't mean you're all the same. But we're talking specifically about Amber Heard here. And what Dr. Coey said was that these people, well, not these people again, Amber, are very concerned with appearances. She can be cruel and may struggle to admit faults, prompting a lot of issues in close relationships. And the reactions can be violent or aggressive, which, again, we saw with Amber constantly punching Johnny Depp. We have strong evidence of that. And they can be abusive to their partner to physically stop them from leaving. This happened on a number of times. So, yeah. And here's the bombshell. Dr. Curry went on to say that they may also use the legal system to stop their partner from leaving by threatening to file a restraining order or claiming they have been abused. That says everything. I don't even need to add to that. You know, I think that says everything about Amber Heard. And that diagnosis sounds pretty solid to me. Again, not because it serves an agenda, but because it's in line with all the rest of the evidence that we have in this trial, including those damning audio recordings. And Dr. Curry went on to say that the people with borderline disorder can feel slighted easily and they can make no attempt at controlling their emotions. They'll do anything to express anger. Describing histrionic personality disorder, Dr. Curry said, it's a need to be the center of attention, adding that those with the condition will need to make up stories to put themselves at the center as either the victim or princess. You know, I think people should always just look at everything that Dr. Coey said, and then literally the next thing they should do is watch Amber Heard's testimony. And by the way, not if you already know that Amber Heard's lying, you don't need to do that. You don't need to talk to yourself again. You don't need to put yourself through that. Because I found watching Amber Heard's testimony very difficult. It was very difficult because it was just painful. It was painful. It was infuriating. Much like most of you guys, you know, I know a lot of you guys feel the same. It was very infuriating to watch someone lie and tell stories that are true to people. They're not true to Amber Heard, but her stories are true to other people. Other people have been raped. They have been abused. And it's happened at the hands of men and women. And it's happened to men and women. So all of those stories that Amber Heard has said are all real to other people. You know, people will have experienced and been able to relate to that. And I can only imagine how infuriating that was to watch, considering you've actually been through that and you're watching someone use that as a lie to hurt someone who was actually abused. Johnny Depp was abused and yet he's being accused of being the abuser. It's just horrific. And this is why a lot of people are invested strongly in this trial. I don't have any personal relation to a lot of the things Amber Heard said. Anything she said, I have not experienced any of those things, thankfully. But yeah, I was so infuriated watching that. So I'm saying that from a person that's never experienced any of what Amber Heard is saying, I found it infuriating. So I can only imagine how someone who has been at the receiving end of IPV or has been abused psychologically or physically, whether you're a man or a woman, and whether it was done by a man or a woman, I can only imagine how furious you must have been watching Amber Heard speak in that witness box, because she was lying, you know, and I think she was lying about the majority of the things she said. You know, there might be a sprinkle of truth in certain things, I don't know, but we can be very, very sure that she did make up a lot of stories in that box. I don't think and the reason for that is because the evidence doesn't support any of what she says. You know, it contradicts what she says, if anything. A lot of the evidence contradicts that. So when I use those strong words, because I know it's a strong thing to say that somebody lied, but the evidence is just too overwhelming at this point. We have all the evidence now. You know, I've tried to be very fair, and I am still trying to be very fair. But there's just some things that you have to call a spade sometimes. You know, you have to just be very upfront and honest. And I can't just pretend that I don't see the facts that are laid out in front of me. I know some people will say, oh, you know, maybe you should try and be a bit more impartial. I'm being very fair. And the fair sometimes means you have to condemn somebody. And I condemn Amber Heard for her actions. But anyway, that aside, Dr. Shannon Curry, guys, I think that was a very solid testimony. She had two very good days in court. She was there twice, and I thought she nailed it. She's a very important witness, and I'm sure she'll be a big part of the discussions when the jury are discussing this trial and they're trying to reach a conclusion. I am 100% sure that Dr. Shannon Curry will be a big part of their decision making. You know, she will be a big influence in that. Her testimony was very valuable. And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Virginia Truth with me, Knackle. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you will join me for the next episode. Until then, take care, and don't believe everything the media tells you. Goodbye.